Amen. I appreciate men that are willing to sing to the Lord. That's a true man. I'd rather have a guy that'll sing out to the Lord than throw a football and make a sack any day. To me, all those guys are weenies if they can't stand up for the Lord. They call themselves to be Christians, and then they live the life of the party life with the rest of them. You're not a man. You're following the rest of the crowd. You want to be a man and stand up. And I appreciate men that'll get up and sing to the Lord and then live what they sing, and not just words. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and Titus chapter 2, verse 4, we read our text this evening. I'll preface by saying I did not get any of my message from Dr. Phil or Oprah tonight. Love is a biblical thing. A lot of times we get our definition of love and how to love our spouse by what we see off of TV, what we hear from the Oprah Winfrey and the Dr. Phil and the rest of the world. Love is a biblical thing, though. I need to get back. What is love biblically? What does God say about loving my spouse? God has a lot to say about that. God has a lot to talk about when it comes to our marital relationship with our spouse. I don't believe if you're not right with your wife, I don't believe you're right with God, sir. And vice versa, if you're not right with your husband, I don't believe you're right with God. God put you two together, and He put that marriage together, and you said your vows to the Lord when you said your vows. I believe He wants a marriage to be right one with another. And that's going to involve some love. And we saw that here in our text this morning. God created our marriage to be a lasting commitment. Think about that. A lasting commitment. From till death do us part. You remember saying your vows for those that are married in this room? Till death do us part. That means until I die or my spouse dies, we're together. We live in a day where marriage is not till death do us part. And I believe what's happened a lot of times is young people get fascinated with this fairy tale relationship thing that's out there. We watch Cinderella and all these other fairy tale things that go on, and that's the type of relationship that they want. I want to go fall madly in love the first guy I see and go off, get married, and live a happy life. You know, there's more to it than that. And what ends up happening after this fairy tale relationship that goes on is that down the road, 5 years, they're divorced. They fell out of love as quickly as they fell into love. And you got to be careful about that. We see God specifically tells us, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, look at it. He says, husbands, look at this, love your wives. Specific commandment to the husband there, love your wife. And then he says here in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, speaking to the husband, so love his wife as himself. God gives us a specific commandment, men, that we need to love our wife. And then he says to the women in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, we read it, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands. So God is saying right here, hey, you need to constantly be working on the love with your spouse. You need to work at loving your spouse. You know what that tells me? That it's not always going to be easy to love my spouse. It's something I'm going to have to work at. You can't sit back and let your marriage coast on through and expect your love to be what it should be for your spouse. There's going to have to be some things I do in my marriage to make sure that I'm loving properly how God said I'm supposed to love. You follow me tonight? You with me tonight? And so we're going to pray and then preach on the subject, staying in love. You say, that's simple, it's trite. Look at our marriages today. I'm not talking about maybe yours specifically, but look at marriages as a whole. What's missing? A lot of marriages are contracts anymore without the love involved. And God says, hey, there needs to be love in that relationship. So we'll preach on that subject. Let's pray. We'll get into that. Dear Lord, please bless tonight. I need your help. I need your wisdom. Dear God, I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all, but I know your book tells us all, dear Lord, and your book gives us some guidance in this matter of keeping love in that marriage relationship. I'd ask that each man and each woman tonight would pay attention to God's word, and then also, dear God, pay attention to how we can stay in love in our marriages, that it might last. And it might be long-lasting. It might be in it for the long haul, dear God. I'd ask you, please work your spirit work as only you can, and we'll give you the praise and thanks and the glory for it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to look at tonight some biblical principles in staying in love. Here in Ephesians and in Titus, God commands both the husband and wife to love one another. That means sometimes it's not going to come naturally. Sometimes I'm going to look at my wife, or you're going to look at your husband and say, I really don't want to love him. And if I'm not careful, I'll get to the point in my marriage where I claim I fell out of love. And you can, I believe you can get to that point. In marriage, there are times when you need to put work and effort into loving your spouse. If I'm going to love, though, my spouse properly, I'm going to have to understand the proper definition of love. If we talk about this matter of staying in love, what does love mean? What's the proper definition of love? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, I see that word love mentioned. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Is that a different love than what we're supposed to love our spouse with? No, love is the same. We're supposed to love God, obviously, first and foremost, but He's talking about the same type of love for my spouse. So is this love that I'm supposed to have for God, is this type of fawning over love that a young person has, and, the googly eyes and they stare at each other? Is that the type of love that God's talking about there when He says, love the Lord thy God? No, so that's not the type of love that He's necessarily talking about when it comes to my marriage relationship. Is this some kind of emotional feeling that comes across me and I get butterflies in my tummy? No, that's not the type of love God is talking about when He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. It's a little bit more than that. It's an affection. It's a desire. It's an action that will cause us to give. It goes deep into us. You see, it's not some just emotional thing. And sometimes we have a wrong view of the type of love I need to have in my relationship. It's not getting butterflies about my spouse. It's a desire. It's an affection. It's an action that drives me to give. God wants us to have an affection and a desire that for Him that causes us to do something for Him. Amen? God wants you, Christian, God wants you, I don't know if you knew this or not, but God wants you to have that love. When we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, what happens? It drives me to be active for my Lord. I want to go out and tell somebody about Christ. I want to read my Bible. I want to be faithful to church because I love God. It drives me to action. And that's the type of love God's talking about. Many times, young people mistake the love that they're supposed to have in a relationship with lust. Well, I'm madly in love. No, you're madly in lust. There's a difference there. There's a difference between attraction and affection. Just because you're attracted to some guy, because, well, I don't know about looking handsome. I don't know any of our boys that look handsome. I don't know too many out there. Just because you're attracted to some guy because of a personality or because some humor that he has, or you're attracted to some gal because she's got a pretty face, that does not include the definition of love there. You got to understand what love is. They do not have affection for them. Many times they're just attracted to them. They're caught up in this thing of lust. Physical attraction is the only aspect that they're concerned with. Hey, young people, go a little bit deeper than just physical attraction. Now, I don't advocate dating at this age. In fact, I advocate courting when you get to that time. But when it comes to that time that I look for a mate, don't look on the outward appearance. Don't just look at, now I'm not saying marry a troll. But that should not be our only aspect is, well, I'm going to go find somebody that's pretty and that's all that matters. Find out who they are. Find out what their character. Hey, girls, that guy's going to have to go to work for you every day. Does he have character to keep a job? Hey, fellas, you got to eat every day. You want to come home to a clean house? Does that gal have enough character to wake up and clean the house and make your meal? You see, it goes a little bit deeper than just the attraction and just the lust. They end up marrying and their marriage winds up in divorce because their lust runs out. All of a sudden the good looks run away. You realize the physique doesn't stay? You know, it shifts over time. Shifting sand, right? It's not going to stay that way forever. I got to wake up and realize that. That young man or young woman that you're so infatuated with will not keep his or her physique. When you ask them why they got divorced. Well, we just fell out of love. No, what happened is your lust ran out, and so when your lust ran out, you decided, I'm going to go find somebody else I could lust after, so we got a divorce and I find somebody else that fulfills my lust now. And that's what's going on today, in today's day and time. It's a lust factor rather than a love factor many times. Love goes deeper than the outward. It's an affection and desire that will cause us to give ourselves to a person regardless of their actions towards us. Is that not what Jesus Christ did on the cross? We sing about His love, His great love to us tonight. And Christ has a great love for us. Why? Because I stood as a dirty, rotten, worthless sinner. And that's how all of us stand. Yet, Jesus Christ, in that position, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That love, what did it cause him to do? Despite what we did to him, and despite how filthy and how ugly we are, Christ says, no, I'm going to go to the cross anyways and still die for you. I'm still going to demonstrate my love. That's love. Regardless of how that person treats me, because we didn't treat Christ real well. Regardless of how he treats me, I'm going to treat them in return in a way of love. Christ's love went deeper than just looks. He looked down at us. He didn't see a whole lot. I know when Christ looked at Kevin Swarga, he didn't see a whole lot. But his love went deeper than looks. A marriage, love has to go deeper than looks. Hey, young people, your marriage one day, love has to go deeper than looks. Get off the looks there. Look a little bit deeper than that. Like I said, I believe you ought to marry a pretty gal and a handsome boy, but a pretty face is not going to keep you married one day. No marriage has ever been kept together because they were pretty or because he was handsome. God says in our passage here, he says, not lust, he says love. Love. Love your spouse. Love your wife. Love your husband. Looks can't keep you married, but love can keep you married. You understand that? Hey, looks can't keep that relationship together, but love can keep that relationship together even through the hard times, even through sickness. Hey, even through cancer and hair falling out. Even when it's ugly and it's not a good situation. Even through the a job loss and, man, financial time. Love can get you through that if you'll have a real type of love. If all it is lust, then it's going to fall apart pretty quick. You're to get married on a foundation of love and then continue to grow in love one toward another until death do you part. Hey, understand, Christian, and husbands and wives, when we get married, it's of course on that foundation of love. There ought to be love there, but my love doesn't end there. I continue to build that love year by year as our marriage goes year by year. The love that we have for our spouse ought to be greater than the love we had for our spouse a year ago. I got to be building it. I have to be making sure that things don't get in and distract and pull us away from that love that I'm supposed to have with my spouse. Here is a problem in many marriages. We fall out of love. So can you really fall out of love? I think you can. I look at a lot of marriages. I see where a spouse fell out of love. Why does God say here in Ephesians and in Titus, he says, love your spouse? Why would he have to say love your spouse if once we have that love, it's forever going to stay? Because he knows as humans, things are going to get in the way of that love, and I have to focus on loving that spouse properly as I'm supposed to. We can digress to a point where our relationship is absent of love. Understand, this is possible in our relationship with God. We're supposed to love God, correct? Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. No, excuse me, Revelation chapter 2. The church in Ephesus. What did Christ write to the church there? He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What happened? They fell out of love with their first love. They misplaced that love. Hey, Christian, if you're not careful, I'm a little bit off the spouse section of things, but Christian, if we're not careful, we're going to fall out of love with God. Ephesus, the problem wasn't that they weren't at church. They were in the house of God. The problem isn't that they weren't serving. I believe they were serving, but they left their love for God. You understand that you can be in the house of God and not have any love for God? You can sit in church service after church service, and lose your love. I just go through the motions. I'm here because it's Sunday. I'm supposed to be here. I serve because that's my duty. I'm supposed to serve. Hey, Christian, you better make sure that you have a love for God, an affection for God, a desire for God. You got to keep that desire and that affection for Him stirred. If you're not careful, you're going to fall out of love with God. It's just going to become motions and routine. And what did God say to the church in Ephesus? He said, if you don't return to that love, I'm removing the candle. He says, I'm going to remove the candlestick. If you're not careful, God's going to stop working through your life because you lost that first love. Hey, Christian, you better be so careful about staying in love with you. You think it's just enough to be in the house of God? It's not enough just to sit in church. I got to continually stir up that desire and affection for my God, my Savior, my Creator. I got to keep it hot. I got to keep that flame going. And that rolls over then. If I can fall out of love with my God, no doubt I can fall out of love with a human. Amen? God is perfect. He's never done me wrong. If I could fall out of love with a perfect God, I could fall out of love with an imperfect spouse. And so that's our danger right there, is we have the danger of falling out of love. Your affection and desire can die out. That flame that once burned and that brought your relationship to the marriage altar can be quenched. A marriage could come to a point where a husband and wife just live together And like I said before, it's just a contract. Yes, we're in the same household. We're making things work because we're not going to get a divorce, but there's no love in the home. There's some marriages out there. They've been married for 30 years. In the last 20 years, there's been no love. No affection. It's just we're here because we're supposed to be here. The marriage becomes just a contract. And can I say, thank God that you have commitment to stay together. I'm not criticizing the commitment there. Thank God for commitment to stay together. When the home is established on commitment, there is always an attitude that we will do whatever is required to solve problems. There ought to be commitment in the home. When we're committed, I decide whatever it takes, we're going to stick together. You know why a lot of couples are falling apart? Is because they don't make that step of commitment. We live in a day and a time where a lot of people are just shacking up. I've never, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, I've never met a couple shacking up together that's been together 40 years. Never. And you know what? You won't. Why? There's no commitment there. The first sign of trouble comes, man, we're out of here. I'm bailing. We're not married. What does it matter? You need commitment in the home. Hey, you need to take that step of commitment. Young couple, any couple. Don't enjoy the benefits without making the commitment. You got to make the commitment there. You're passing up the way God said to do it, and you're going to get it all out of whack. I got to follow God's plan. But what happens a lot of times, we don't make that commitment. Commitment, praise God for it. You need that commitment. But can I say, your commitment needs to not just be with sticking together. Your commitment needs to be with loving each other. I can't just be committed to, well, I'm going to stay with them for the rest of my life. I need a commitment. I'm going to love them for the rest of my life. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what comes in our path. I'm going to love that person for the rest. I'm going to stay in love. I'm going to have love for the long haul in my marriage. Life is not always going to be easy. Trials come in marriage. Anyway, if we went around this room, we could probably take the rest of this night to talk about trials that have come into marriages tonight. Conflicts. Life has its ups and downs. But among that, I need to make sure that I have a love. These same trials will pull one marriage apart and bring another marriage closer together. You ever see that before? Trials come into a life, a job loss or a sickness. In one marriage, it'll pull them apart. Man, they'll get mad. They'll come to the verge of splitting or they'll split up. And then you see it come to another couple that's committed to their love for each other, and it seems like it brings them closer together, and it forms an even tighter bond. Why? Because a commitment to stay in love no matter what comes into their path. It all depends on their commitment to staying in love one with another. When our marriage is built on emotion and selfishness, facing problems are going to be very difficult. If it's built on just my emotions, on what I want, those problems come my way. It's going to be tough. But if it's built on a real love, and I'm continuing to grow that love, I can get through those times. A couple must seek and continue to stroke the flame of love in their relationship. We're going to look at a few points of staying in love for the long haul. Just a few basic things I believe will be a help to you. Staying in love for the long haul. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Number one, how do I stay in love for the long haul? How do I stay in love in my marriage with my spouse? How do I make sure that my love doesn't die out? I don't drop out of love in that marriage relationship that I have. Number one, stay in love by removing the pitfalls in your relationship. Stay in love by removing the pitfalls in your relationship. And there are pitfalls and there are activities that if I get involved in, if I allow into my life, they're going to make me fall out of love in my marriage. They're going to affect my relationship with my spouse. There are things that you can be a part of that are going to steal away your love from your spouse. What are these? These are fire extinguishers in the marriage. It's going to put out the fire, put out the flame that ought to be there. They put out the flame in the marriage. Pitfalls in your marriage will devastate your marriage. I got to remove them. I got to avoid them. I got to pass by them. If you want to stay in love for the long haul, there are some pitfalls that you're going to have to look out for. I read the story of David in Bathsheba, and I see where David, he was supposed to go out to war, and he's on the roof, and he looks over, and he sees Bathsheba. He falls into lust. And you know how the story goes. They end up with a baby when it's all said and done. Hey, can I say that was probably a pitfall for him, don't you think? Hey, if we're not careful, there's some pitfalls along the way, if we're not careful, that we'll fall into, and you can guarantee if you fall into a pitfall, it's going to affect your love for your spouse. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to tear a marriage apart. It's going to rob your affection and desire that you ought to have for your spouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Well, because that's a pitfall. I got to be careful because I don't want to fall into fornication. Don't you think fornication would kind of ruin a marriage? I believe so. So he says, hey, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. So I'm going to decide I'm not going to put my hands on another woman. Hey, I don't hug other women unless they're under 70 or over, or under 7 or over 70. Then we're safe. Can I say, sir, you ought to be careful about hugging, putting your hands on other women. You say, well, it's just a friendly sign of affection. It's a pitfall, though. You realize something little like that can turn into something big and ruin a marriage? Not me, Pastor. I'm better than that. Well, you trust your lust a whole lot because I don't trust mine. I don't trust my flesh. Beware of pitfalls that are out there. You got to wake up and realize there's some pitfalls that are going to come along, and I got to watch out for these pitfalls in my life. If you want to stay in love, keep your hands on your own spouse. Keep your hands on your own spouse. There's some pitfalls, specific pitfalls, that happen very, very often in marriages. What's one of them? Pornography. Pitfall. I heard a pastor say, give a statistic the other day. He said that 50% of men in churches struggle with pornography. I'd be a fool to think that there's men in our church that don't struggle with it. The statistics say that most likely there is. Can I say pornography is a pitfall that will ruin your marriage? Statistics say that on an average, by age 8, a boy is introduced to pornography in some way. That's incredible. And can I say here, while we're on it, parents, you better be so careful, because if you're not careful, you're going to introduce it into their life by what you enable them to have. With the, I don't have my phone, I don't bring it in here. With the click of a button anymore. Your son can get on the internet and access all kinds of pornography out there. Why trust them? You're a fool. You're just going to allow them to do whatever on there. Well, they don't have internet on there. There's Instagram, there's Snapchat, there's all kinds of stuff that you have probably no idea about. If they want to get into it, you say, well, if a kid wants to get into sin, they'll get into sin. I agree with you, absolutely. But don't provide them the means. I'm sorry, I think it's one of the biggest mistakes, a parent buying a kid a cell phone that doesn't need it. And they're at school. What do they need a cell phone at school for? Or they're at home. Where else do they go? You're giving them an access to evil. Why? Age eight, they're introduced to pornography in most cases. Take away the temptation. Take it away. The TV's in the bedrooms. Why am I going to put cable TV in my child's bedroom so that my child can access whatever they want? Are you with me? The temptation is there. A teenage boy, 15-year-old teenage boy, sitting in there with cable with whatever he wants to watch. You don't think that's a temptation? The video games out there. If you only knew the immorality and lewdness on the video games today. It's just filth. It's filth. So I look at that. Hey, I don't want my young people to grow up and be hooked on this when they get married one day. I don't want them to have that pitfall. So I'm just going to be smart about how I do some things. I'm going to pay attention to what's going on out there and be smart how I do some things in my life with my young people. But can I say, men as well, we need to be so careful about this matter. Just because this matter of pornography is widespread in our society does not make it okay. You talk to the guys at work, you know what? They don't have a problem with this. I'm not saying they don't struggle with it. They just don't see it as a problem. Well, so what? My hands aren't on them. Can I remind you of Matthew chapter 5, verse 28? He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in her heart. What does the Bible say? If I look on that picture to lust after that picture, he says, you've committed adultery in your heart. Hey, that's sin against God. That's sin against your wife right there. Well, it's a big deal going to God. God says those pictures and that lusting is sin and vile. Sir, if you only knew how your addiction affected your wife. Why is it such a pitfall? Because that tears up your wife. I've had conversations before about what it does. It rips her insides out of them. Well, I'm worthless. I must not mean anything to my husband. That'll destroy your relationship. That'll knock down your love. That'll put a kink in that relationship that you're trying to grow and enhance. I got to avoid, I got to remove those addictions in my life. And you say, well, it's not an addiction, Pastor. I can stop whenever I want to. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. You know, there's some good wisdom Solomon gives. I can stop whenever you want. Okay, so it's sin, it's vile in the face of God, and you're doing it, but you can stop whenever you want, but you won't. Why? Because it's an addiction. Plain and simple. You can't just put it down. You're addicted. You need to get help. You need to get help. You need to get out of that. Hey, young people, you're messing with that. You need to get out of it. Get out of it while you're still young. That filth steals your relationship with your wife, and your wife views herself as worthless, as trash. I believe every wife ought to have full access to every bit of technology her husband has. Cell phone, laptop, anytime, be able to access it. Why? Because it's a little bit of accountability on my part. It's a pitfall, and it's killing the marriages in America. It really is. And I believe in our churches as well. If you're going to stay in love, you need to remove those things that hinder your love in that relationship. Another pitfall that you see many days today is a pitfall of flirting. I'm all for being friendly and kind towards the opposite gender. But I think we all know when we cross the line between friendly and flirting. Can I say that's ruining our marriages today? Men are going out of the home to work, and whoever they pass along the way, well, I'm just going to flirt a little bit. What's the big deal? Once again, it's widespread. Everybody does it. It is a big deal. And you're hindering your love with your spouse by doing so. You say it's never going to go anywhere. What's the big deal? You don't know that, first of all. There's preachers behind bars today because they said it's never going to go anywhere. You think you're better? It's damaging the love that you have for your wife. You realize you can't flirt with every skirt out there and then go home and love your wife properly like you ought to. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I got to remove that. Don't share secrets with the opposite gender other than your spouse. I'm just trying to give some wisdom to you. You share a secret with the opposite gender that's not your wife, not your husband. Guess what? Now we share a little bit of privacy between us too. Nobody else knows. I developed that connection there. That's a dangerous thing. I better be so careful about that. I can't confide in somebody that's not my wife or my husband. You better watch out for the pitfall of flirting. Only person you have business flirting with, sir, is your wife. Hey, you don't have business flirting with the waitress over at the restaurant. You don't have business just flirting with the clerk over at the store. You don't have business flirting with the secretary, the co-worker. You could go on and on down the line. And I can tell you story after story of just a little flirting and what it led into. A broken home. A pitfall. I got to remove the pitfalls from the relationship. Remove those things that will suck the love out of the relationship with your wife. Another pitfall. Let's look at this. Social media. Social media. Sir, ma'am. You get out there outside of reality. I get on my computer, the cyber world. I start hanging out with everybody in cyber. I better be so careful what I do on there. Well, it's not my life, it's my second life. It's on the computer, so it doesn't really matter. It does matter. That affects your relationship. You get into a relationship, if you want to call it a cyber relationship, with somebody else on the other end of the computer there, it's going to affect your love with your spouse. You better be careful about the chat rooms. Hey, ma'am at home all day, you better be careful about the chat rooms. Well, I get on there, I just chat with all kinds. You better be careful about who you're chatting with out there. Hey, you better be careful about the Facebook out there. Man, I can tell you stories of ladies that ran off with another guy because she met him in Facebook or reunited with him on Facebook. Well, we were long lost friends and we were just getting to know one another. I got a problem. I got a problem here. I'm going to squish this right now. I don't know. I think I have a problem if somebody called up my wife and talked to her for hours every week. Don't you, sir? Would you have a problem with that? And ladies, you would say, hey, there's something wrong. He's trying to get more than just having a friendly conversation. That's not right. But we jump on social media, and I'll be in conversation hours at a time with a guy that's not my husband, and we don't think any different. What's the big deal? It isn't. Why is a phone conversation any bigger than the computer conversation that you're having? Hey, it's going to ruin your marriage relationship. It's going to end up getting between you and your spouse. Mark it down, guarantee you. Man, Facebook has ruined a plethora of marriages. You better watch out. You can go on and on. I don't know all the social media stuff out there anymore. But you could go on down the list. You better be careful. I got to guard myself. Sir, you got to guard yourself going on those things. I'm not going to have conversations with him. I don't even get on Facebook. My wife and I have some joint account there. I don't want to mess with people talking on Facebook. Not only is it time wasting, people spend hours on it. But I don't want to get caught up in some type of pitfall out there. I care more about my marriage than that. So you better watch. You better watch on the social media. Ladies, you're at home all day, you better watch. Watch the social media. I better be careful. Look at, man, the Bible says we have a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't you think he's real? Don't you think he's in the internet world? He's the prince and the power of the air. Think about that. What goes across the airwaves? All the technology stuff. That's what it all is. You don't think he's involved in that a little bit? You don't think that's a huge trap that he's going to try to get you by? You better be careful. You better open up your eyes. It's a little bit quiet. Husbands, love your wives. Wife, love your husband. We see it in the Word of God. Hey, stay in love. How do I stay in love for the long haul? Remove the pitfalls from that relationship. Remove the pitfalls. Number two, stay in love by rejuvenating the life in your relationship. Rejuvenating the life in your relationship. The book of the Song of Solomon is all about this. It's all about him adding fuel to the fire in his marriage. Trying to enhance the love between him and his bride. If I'm going to stay in love for the long haul, I can't coast on the love that I have. Not only do I have to remove those pitfalls that will get between me and my spouse, but then I have to constantly be enhancing the love that I have for him. I constantly have to be adding that log to the fire, right? Put another log on the fire. Is that how the song goes? You got to add another log to that fire burning between you and your wife. How do you stay in love? Keep doing what you did to fall in love. Amen? Hey, sir, what'd you do to fall in love with her? Well, we went on dates. Well, he took me to ice cream. They wrote me sweet letters. Hey, go back to doing what you did when you fell in love and continue that. Don't stop it because we got married all of a sudden. If I'm going to grow my marriage, if I'm going to have that love and it's going to last, I got to keep enhancing it. Keep enhancing it. Why do couples fall out of love? Because they stop doing what they did to fall into love. You stop it, and then you're going to fall right back out. Why do Christians stop loving God like they're supposed to love? Because they stop doing what they did to fall into love with God. It goes hand in hand. Continue to pump life into your marriage and growing that love that you have for your spouse. You can't ever drift on your current love and make it. Hey, if you're not growing in your love, you're dying in your love. This is true with Christ. If I'm not, how many times have you heard the illustration, if I'm not going forward, I'm going backwards? Amen? If I'm not going forwards for Christ, I'm somehow drifting backwards. If you're not going forward in your love for your spouse, you're going backwards. Say, no, I'm coasting. I'm about even. No, you're starting to go backwards. You might not see it yet, but mark it down. You're going backwards. Enhance, rejuvenate that love that's supposed to be there. Every spouse must put effort and time into keeping their love with their mate fresh and new. Put time and effort. It takes time and effort. It takes a little bit of extra time. You can't get old and stale in your marriage. It must be rejuvenated continually. Keep it alive. Well, how do I keep my marriage alive? How do I enhance my love? Go on dates. You say, this is simple. I know it's simple, but it's truth. We're missing out on it in America because we're not paying attention to the simple. We want something above, all fancy. Go on dates. You have to set aside time for one another. When was the last time you set aside time for your spouse? I'm not a fan at all of teenage dating, but I am a big fan of married couple dating. I believe every married couple ought to date. Some of you in here tonight, the last time you went out on a date with your spouse was your honeymoon. Hey, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that, amen? You got to date her. With our busy schedules, it's easy to lose that one-on-one time with one another. I got to run here. I got to bring the kids here. We got to do this. No, I got to make sure if I'm going to stay in love, I got to make sure to take that proper time with my spouse. You find your time to work on your golf swing, right? Hey, sir, you found time to go hunting. Ma'am, you found time to go shopping for those shoes that you wanted. We find time for what we want to find time for. And if you really want to grow your love with your spouse, you'll find time. Amen? If you really want to grow your love, if you want to enhance it. See, I don't have time to take her out on a date. Well, if she's a priority in your life, you'll find time. My wife and I, we don't have a long date time, but every Thursday, 5:30, we go and grab dinner. Just her and I. Get away from everything. Get away from the kids. Don't come along. You need to set aside some time with your spouse. Couples fall out of love because they don't spend time with one another. Not with the kids, just the two of you. Eat out. Go to a restaurant. Eat out. Go shopping. Oh, that's a rough one. Sir, go shopping. Grin and bear it. Hey. She grins and bears it when she has to do your dirty underwear. So, you know, you can go out shopping for her. Amen? Amen? She does a lot of dirty work for us. Going shopping, that's not a big deal. Go sightseeing. My wife and I, this past summer, we went over to St. Louis. And we did some sight. We just walked around, wanting to see the city there. We were heading on our way to southwest Missouri area there. And we went in City Hall, big old building. We wanted to check out what it was, City Hall. And we walk inside. The doors are wide open. Nobody's around. Big ornate building at City Hall. It's 8 o'clock at night, and there's nobody. So we start walking around looking. Why isn't there anybody at the desk? I go and look behind the desk. There's a security guard dead asleep back there. I wish I would have taken a picture and sent it to the mayor. And so I wake him up. I say, hey, excuse me, sir. Oh, yeah. I said, can I look around? This is a really neat building. Oh, no. It's after hours. You've got to get out of here. Whatever. But go sightseeing. Go. You'll never know the stories that you come up with, you and your wife, the good times that you have together. How do I enhance my love? Go do something together. Play a game at home together. Fix popcorn. Sit in front of the fire. Hey, don't sit in front of the TV. That's not spouse time. Well, we spent time in front of the TV together. Yeah, that got a lot accomplished. Go on a boat ride. Enjoy hobbies together. Invite another couple over. A date does not have to be expensive and extravagant. But spend time. Spend time weekly. Spend time weekly together. Remember special days. Go on dates. Remember special days. This is especially for men, right? Hey, remember the special days. I'm getting a bunch of bad looks from men right now. Hey, and can I say, us men don't want to admit it because we're macho. I don't care about days. Yeah, men appreciate when you remember their days too. Remember special days. Hey, remember the anniversary that's coming up. Do something special. Remember the birthday. Do something special. Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. The special days. Remember them. Do something special for them. Make special days special. Say sweet words. Next, say sweet words. Hey, it doesn't take a rich man to give sweet words. Amen for that. I'm glad you don't got to be rich. Say sweet words. Hey, say I love you. Say I love you. Well, she knows I love her because of what I do. No, she needs to hear that you love her. And he needs to hear that you love him. Say I love you. Express it verbally. Say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That's a rough one. You know what? That goes a long way. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Are we that stuck up on ourselves that we can't say I'm sorry? Pride goeth before a fall. You know why a lot of men end up screwing up their marriage? Because they have too much pride to admit sometimes I'm sorry and I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Learn to say I'm sorry in a marriage. It'll save you a lot of heartache. Number next, compliment daily homemaking. Kind words, compliment daily homemaking. Hey, she slaves away at the laundry all day and those dirty dishes and everything else. Compliment her. Hey, don't go home and say, hey, woman, what you been doing all day? Oh, that'll get you far, sir. Hey, sweet words. Uh-oh, I won't ask over there. Sweet words. Hey, wife, you did a great job. This looks great. You know how that enhances your marriage? Compliment her. Say thank you. Let her know the house looks clean. Compliment the daily meals. Oh, that burnt food last night, that was great, sweetie. It was right on the mark. No, don't do that. But compliment her. Compliment her. Let her or let him know that you're attracted to them. Give encouragement. Stay in love by enhancing that love. Build on it. Basic, but it's needed. Another one. Give nice surprises. Hey, for no reason at all, just because. Give nice surprises. Flowers, gifts, notes, unexpected calls or texts, candy, ice cream, perfume, something unusual, spontaneous. Do unexpected things for them. Just out of the ordinary. What am I doing? I'm enhancing that love. If I coast on that love is going to die. I got to continually add to that love. The little things will add to that love. Little things. How do I stay in love as God commanded us to? Continually rejuvenate the life in your marriage through dates, showing care, surprises, your words. Hey, the wear and tear of everyday life. The busy schedules that we keep, raising the kids. The wear and tear of everyday life is going to suck the life out of our marriage just naturally. I have to constantly put life back into it. And I have to make sure I make effort to do so, otherwise it's not going to get done. If I don't make that effort, eventually the life will get sucked out of it, and what will happen? My marriage is going to be dead. It's a contract. We're living together. It's important. It's important. If you decide that it isn't important, hey, your marriage is going to reflect it down the road. Lastly, we'll be done. Stay in love. How do I stay in love? I got to remove the pitfalls, rejuvenate that marriage, and then lastly, resolve. Stay in love by resolving the small things in your relationship. Stay in love by resolving the small things in your relationship. Solomon made this statement, "The little foxes spoil the vine." The little foxes spoil the vine. The little things. You know what happens in a lot of marriages? The little things spoil the marriage. Little things can have a devastating effect. The strife in a marriage, where does it come from a lot of times? A lot of times the strife between a husband and wife comes from the little things that build up to be big things. It's like sin in our life. The little sin. Well, this is a pet sin. It's not that big. I can get away with it. I can deal with it. I can kind of harbor it over here. And what happens eventually, it becomes being a big sin. What happens to David's lust? It becomes something big and he ends up killing a guy. Our lust always, our sin always grows to something that we can't handle. You know what happens in a marriage? Those little things grow to be things that we can't handle anymore. I got to resolve the little things in the marriage. Just the little things that rub things wrong. That give conflict to my spouse and I. I got to resolve them on a continual basis. They build and build and build until they become a major stumbling block if I'm not careful. Those that have studied it say that divorce is often a result of several little things that were neglected for long periods of time. I didn't do the studies on it, but the ones that do said normally divorce comes from the little things being neglected for a long time. And we never take care of it. And eventually it mounts up to be a mountain hill instead of just a little mole thing. Most of the time, they're brushed off as no big deal because they really aren't. How big of a deal really is it? But when small things are not resolved, they will become a big deal. I've seen it before, not in just in marriage relationships. I've seen it in pastoral and church member relationships. Well, it's small, it's not a big deal. And then 5 months later, they leave the church because of it. Well, if it wasn't a big deal, why'd you leave the church? It wasn't a big deal, but when you don't resolve small deals, they wind up being a big deal. Hey, church member, you got a problem? Go to the pastor and resolve it. You got a problem with the church member? Go to that church member and resolve it. Well, it's not that big of a deal. But that small deal is going to end up a big deal when you don't resolve the issue. The same thing is true with your friends' relationships. It's true across the board. And that's true so much in our marriage. Resolve the small deals that are happening. If you desire to stay in love, make it a point to resolve the small things. The small things. Not placing the clothes in the hamper or hanging up the clothes. The small things. Tracking dirt into the clean house. Failure to repair a leaky faucet or a toilet. And now that I've confessed my own sins, we'll move on from there. But sir, it's the little things. It's the little things. You say we're going to get a divorce because I didn't, fix the toilet. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we resolve the little things, it's going to allow me to have a deeper love in the long run. Keep a short list. Keep a short list. Ma'am, unprepared meals, failure to dress attractively, constantly complaining, a lack of encouragement. They're all little. None of those are reasons for divorce. None of those are reasons to get mad and fall out of love. But it affects the love that I have. Because those pile up over time. You got to resolve the small issues. There can be much more major things that bring great heartache, but many times it is the lack of attention to the little things that bring the big problems. How do I stay in love for the long haul? Well, first of all, I got to remove the pitfalls. Hey, remove those things that are going to get between me and my wife's or my husband's relationship. Remove the things like the pornography. Remove the things like the flirting or like the chat rooms or like the other things that are going to rob the love that I'm supposed to have for my spouse. Remove them, get them out of my life, get them out of my way. What else do I need to do? I need to enhance, rejuvenate that love. Continually build that love. The little things that I do. The notes, the dates, the kind words that I say. Continually enhance that marriage. And then I need to resolve the little things that come along. So my wife doesn't like how I do that. Is it really that big of a deal that I change how I do this? Not really. Not if I'm going to get a happy wife from it. Ma'am, is it really that big of a deal that you change that little minute thing? It's not going to change your life drastically. It's worth a happy husband. The little things. Can I ask us tonight a question? What have you done to enhance the love in your relationship with your spouse? What have you done recently to enhance that love? What have you done to build that love in that relationship? How is my love growing in my relationship? Can I ask us tonight, are there some hindrances to that love growing in that relationship? Are there some things in the way where it's going to rob that love that I need to get rid of? Maybe there's some tonight that need to set aside some things that are robbing that love from that relationship, some hindrances. When you have done little to work on your love for your spouse, It's no wonder the marriage has lost its excitement. I talk to folks often. But just something came between us. When you do little work for your marriage, it's no wonder you get to a place one day where there's no excitement in your marriage. And it's just dead. So before you get there, work on it now. Let me ask you tonight, Christian, how's your love doing for God? Hey, how's your love doing for your spouse, but how's your love doing for God? Just as much as I had to work on my love for my spouse, I also had to be working on my love for God. Is it growing? When was the last time I did something to enhance my love for God? Maybe I read a little bit extra. Maybe I spent a little bit more time down on my knees praying to Him. Maybe I did something just because I wanted to show Him my love for Him. When was the last time I did something to enhance my love for God? When you do little work to develop your relationship with God, you can't be surprised when your relationship with God loses its excitement. Pastor, my spiritual life seems so dead. When was the last time you worked on your affection for God? I got to work at it. And the kind of home that you have is determined by what you do to build it. The type of Christian that you have, or that you are, is determined by what you do to build that Christian life. The love that you put into it, the effort that you put into it. Heads bowed and eyes closed.